You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Friends, we are back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall, and I am here with the legend, Pastor Dave Bryan, who is the senior pastor of Glad Tidings Church over in California. Man, has California been taking some heat.
Well, literally.
can I, you know, and folks, just so that this is on the table, the last time I had Pastor Dave on this podcast was exactly 4 years ago. Pretty much around this exact same time when we talked about the fact that Trump was not our president anymore. We talked about China. We talked about the whole inauguration fiasco and what was going on in the prophetic sphere. And it was so good to have you on and to sharing your perspectives at that time. And here we are exactly 4 years later. I didn't even really realize that until just this moment. And you're back.
Wow.
But Trump is in office.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Yes.
But your state is burning down. Can you tell me just a little bit about how you and your church has been navigating that? Is that anywhere near or in any way affecting you guys?
Well, these fires, because California is such a long, stretched out state, we're in Northern California. These fires are way down in the Hollywood area. So that's not affecting us in any way. We just hear about it on the news the same as you would. Mm-hmm. Though we do have people that are close to us that it's affecting them. So in that regard, yes. But the fires, they've been burning down California systematically for many years. And I know that when we talk about these things, there are still some people that consider us conspiracy theorists, because you probably heard the old saying, I'm a conspiracy theorist and my pronouns are I am right. but the point is, I mean, how long do they get to keep using that old CIA coined term, conspiracy theory, when they turn out to be accurate over and over and over and over again? But they have been burning down California, and they're doing it because they're trying to take the land and they're trying to push the people into dense population areas that are easily controllable. The people that are hard to control have their own land, their own water, they grow their own food, they raise their own stock. Those people can't be controlled because they have their own ecosystem, so to speak. So we have been fighting California fires, and some of them have been right in our backyard. And we've taken millions of dollars worth of food and water, because one of the ministries we have is called Hope for the Heart, and we do several million pounds of food and water to the needy each year out of that. And sometimes, in fire season, sometimes up to like 5 or 6 million pounds of stuff. So it's a pretty busy place. And so this fire, not so much, Dan, but we really have compassion because we know what's going on. We know people are losing their lives. And by the way, you and I are familiar with demonic trauma, but the trauma of burning or having a loved one burn is right at the top of the depth of trauma that you can experience. People lose their mind because they go through burnings. And so there's just all that kind of stuff. We were talking earlier, Dan, before the show about PTSD, but trauma victims of fire, they have PTSD.
Yes.
And they wake up cold sweats. Of course, you and I know that what happens to us physically and emotionally is wrought upon by demons to take advantage of us still further. So anyway, even though we're watching the Hollywood fires on TV, like the rest of the world, they're just a lot closer to home because we've been involved in all the Northern California fires and we know what people are going through.
Wow. And, you know, one of the things that has been observed, and I want to unpack this with you a little bit, is that the location of the fires is pretty much right on top of Hollywood, Los Angeles. I mean, it is that area. And some people are saying this is a prophetic sign. This is a sign that God's judgment is moving. Obviously, on the other side of that, there's a lot of compassion for the people who are actually losing their homes and
right.
good people that are caught in the middle of this catastrophe and really, really sad situation that is entirely being mismanaged. And I don't even know if it's intentionally mismanaged. I have certain thoughts about your governor. I don't like him.
I have some thoughts about our governor, Dan. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, what are some of your thoughts on this part of the conversation?
Well, I do think that there's intentional mismanagement. We have a saying that you'll appreciate because of your focus on deliverance, but we say often, this is demonic because you can't get that stupid on your own. But when we have extreme fire seasons in California, everybody knows that. There's billions of dollars of real estate. And you make policies that separate people from water and insurance. You know, there were thousands and thousands of homes that could not get fire insurance. And now they're making policies that cut back water, usable water in the fire district. Again, you can't get that stupid on your own. You know there's going to be a fire season. You know that people, in this case, of course, they caught and arrested migrants that were setting fire intentionally and being paid to do it. So, you know, all those factors are working. But let's say that it was a good, honest governor that just got in and we didn't have all the rest of this scenario that we're unpacking. Anybody knows that when you have billions of dollars worth of homes in a fire district that has lots of a wildfire, brush fire, that's a possibility and it happens every year, you have to be thinking, if somebody starts a fire this year, how will we put it out? Now, in addition to all the other things that we've already talked about, just because of being a pastor and being involved in community service and whatnot, I have had people call me. And for instance, a man who's very well respected in our state called and said, hey, I'm a pilot, and one of my side jobs is flying the planes that drop the fire retardant. And he said, I have a moral conflict. They're paying me to fly an empty plane. We have retardant. There's not a problem, but they're paying me a fire hazard pay to fly circles around the fire so that people think we're trying to put it out. And we could be putting it out. We have the fire retardant. That's what I do, but they're having me fly empty patterns. And he said, I just, you know, I feel like a hypocrite. And, you know, I get that, right? I get that. It's like setting off with an ambulance, lights and sirens, and you know that you're going to drive right past the person that's bleeding to death because you've been told not to help them. Well, when you hear things like that that are going on, and then when you know that they turned away billions of cubic feet of water into the ocean intentionally to help the smelt, and instead people are losing their lives with fires, then again, you get into the column where you say it's got to be demonic. because you can't get that stupid on your own.
Okay.
There's something else going on. Now, we know that it's a demonic ploy to reduce the population and to control the remainder of the population and to push them into 15-minute cities, you know. But yeah, whatever it is, it isn't natural. By the way, Dan, since we're talking about this,
yes,
my brother was on a hotshot crew. This was years ago. But, you know, once in a group like that, you're always keep closer tabs on what's happening. And the hotshot crews out of California, the leader that was actually the man who wrote the book on training the firefighters, he'd been doing it his whole life. And he resigned now about 2.5 years ago. But he did so because he said, what is happening in California is not natural. I am an expert, worldwide expert on fires. Natural fires cannot burn this hot. There is some kind of an accelerant being used. And natural fires, you know, some of them move 50, 60 miles an hour. And they scorch trees and whatnot. But these fires are burning automobiles into molten piles. The engine block is burning into just a puddle of metal. And natural forest fires, it's not possible for them to burn that hot. So there are other factors at play. And anyway, you know, it just reminds us of the days we're living in. It's like what happened in Hawaii. If you followed that, the possibility of all the buildings with blue roofs being safe from the fire. Fires are colorblind, right? They don't, it doesn't matter what color the roof is, but there's other factors at play. And I think they're pretty dark. And they have to do, in my mind, clearly with global governments that are trying to push the world into what we know as the Antichrist system of world governance. So
I am so glad you shared all those data points. And I mean, this is a really, I think, inappropriate joke, but like they say, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. How apropos, Dan.
but yeah. Okay, why was
and in
it?
In this case, where there's smoke, there may be laser beams and all kinds of things being employed, you know?
This is so reminiscent of 9/11, where we got shoved this narrative down our throats. Oh, it's just the terrorists. They hijack these airplanes, which has fuel that burns at this temperature. But industrial steel columns must burn at a much higher temperature. Yep. Therefore, we'll just say that the jet fuel burned those things down and the buildings imploded one story on top of the other, like
it was demolition. Down into a pile.
Pile. It didn't fall to the side. It just multiple buildings, just building number nine or whatever. Like all these things going on. And it's like,
number nine.
What? And you're telling me this is happening because of it's not even scientifically possible.
Right.
You know, but I guess because we've been indoctrinated into this idea that we can't even figure out our gender unless we're a biologist.
Yeah.
We probably can't figure out that a forest fire can't melt a car.
Well, yeah. Right. And so many other things, Dan. That's why, you know, as we were talking before the show, there's about to be a reveal of the proportions of which we have never seen. And it may play into what you and I know from scripture, that men's hearts will fail them for fear for the things that are coming on the earth. Because, you know, we're just touching on this area of forest fires, but there are so many things happening that are shocking, and including the portals of the inner earth opening and all kind of stuff are coming out, you know?
Because, I would love to talk. I, You know, and I was going to bring in North Carolina and all of their drama as well, which seemed to be very targeted towards Trump supporters, weirdly. Yeah. But no, portals to the inner earth. Talk about that.
Okay, well, so let's start with the great American enterprise having done so well at ignoring all the verses that we don't want to think about. Like, for instance, all that is said about the heart of the earth, there's a ton that is talked about what we would call inner earth scientifically.
Well, but, yeah, like the fact that every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under
and
the earth.
Under the earth.
Or right? How Satan was going to and fro on the earth and up and down. Up and down.
Yeah, right.
On it.
Yeah.
That's the book of Job.
Yeah, huh. And there's so many things. And then hell from beneath us has opened up to receive you at your coming. And all the verses about the mighty ones.
The rebellion, we would call them, and the earth swallowing them up.
Right.
Where did they go?
Where'd they go? Yeah. So I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you want to go here, Dan. But
this is discovering truth. I want you to go all the way, Pastor.
Okay, so Dan, this could be fun, you know, before it's over with. But let's go back to the verse, men's hearts will fail them for fear for the things that they see coming onto the earth. Mm. Now, the Western mindset generally just says, oh, it's a figure of speech. It's like, you know, the things that are happening on the earth. But, you know, the language seems to portray things are coming onto the surface of the earth that haven't been on the surface of the earth before, right? So there are things on the earth that weren't on the earth before. And we're not just talking about new times and seasons. Well, of course, the Catholic Church has paved the way with the Lucifer microscope on Mount Graham and with what they've done with the welcoming the denizens of the second heaven as the cosmic brotherhood. And so this is something the Catholic Church, again, having millions and millions of adherents that would listen to what was being promoted out of the Vatican. And the Vatican has just boldly announced that they have been hobnobbing with the denizens of the second heaven for some time, to the point that they have developed the doctrine of the cosmic brotherhood. It's in their doctrine books. They and the cosmic brotherhood are beings of the second heaven that, of course, you know, we know in the cosmic revolt and in Genesis 6 and, you know, Isaiah 14, Revelation 7, where it talks about war in heaven and the expulsion of Lucifer and the star angels out of the high heaven, they were sent into the second heaven, what we called space. Almost all astronauts who are honest have seen weird being the gods of the second heaven, the fallen ones. That's what, of course, Gabriel ran into when he was trying to get a message to Daniel, and he was withstood in the second heaven by the Prince of Persia. I mean, think about that. I know you have, but for your listeners, Dan, think about a face angel. He stood before the face of God. He's not a nymph. He's not a little fat cherub that's just trying to make a happy atmosphere somewhere. He's a face angel, a mighty angel of God. He's commissioned by the Almighty to bring a message to the prophet Daniel. And he's withstood for 21 days in the second heaven. That needs talked about more. I mean, how does that happen? The only way that can happen is there being very, very powerful fallen gods that are denizens of the second heaven. And they establish themselves there to separate mankind from their creator. So you have, you know, the first heaven, the atmosphere that belongs to man. And then you have the high heaven, which is the throne room of God. And then you have this band of rebel fallen ones that occupy the second heavens, not demons. Demons, of course, being disembodied spirits of the ancient evil dead that because they're disembodied, they are looking for hosts. But anyway, then we have all these other beings that the church doesn't even like to talk about. But the Catholic Church went ahead and said, oh yeah, we've been talking to them. And they're very powerful, and they are above us, but they're below God. Of course, what the Catholic Church did with the Cosmic Brotherhood is they said, because they have not sinned. Now, you and I know that the Catholic Church is not hobnobbing with the angels of God. They're hobnobbing with the fallen ones in the second heaven.
And so, it bears saying that the current Pope of the Roman Catholic Church is also a Jesuit.
Yeah,
and
right.
The Jesuits is in the Society of Jesus is probably one of, if not the most evil organization on earth.
Right.
And I learned this from Svali, who defected as a former Jesuit father, but she is a female, and survived somehow to this point, and who also was an Illuminati programmer while she was doing that. She's been on this podcast several times.
Yeah.
The Jesuits are the group that infiltrates the Illuminati. So now you have the Roman Catholic Church with its highest office being the Pope, occupied by somebody that's been drafted from literally possibly the most evil organization on the planet. So just to say that.
Right.
Continue.
Yeah. So point well taken. The Catholic Church, if you just study its history twice, they have narrowly voted to allow the Jesuits to remain in the Catholic Church. But twice, it was such an issue because of their extreme evil that there was an archbishop vote, should we even allow them to call themselves Catholic? So, you know, that's the history of the Jesuits. Interesting, isn't it, that this whole thing culminates with a fight against an anti-Christ system, the Greek word meaning literally in place of the Christ. We always think of it being against Christ, which it is, but the way it's against is to replace Christ. And so we have the Society of Jesus, which is the in place of Jesus, right? They're the exact opposite, but they're masquerading as the most Christ-like. Oh, they're Jesuits. I've many times, you probably have too, had people say, the Society of Jesus? What do you mean they're bad? You know, like, well, you know, you can be called Lucifer, the shining one, and not be an all-star pupil in the heavenly realm. But anyway, so we have the Catholic Church leading this, and I don't know how many of the listeners have read Tom Horn's books, I should say, because I think he's written 14 of them. But I would say to any listeners, read every book you can find that was written by Thomas Horn, a great biblical scholar, wise person, but also someone that knew Chuck Missler very well and got involved in the above top secret program of the U.S. military, which, by the way, for your listeners, Dan, the term above top secret always and only means supernatural. That's what it means. So if it's naturally explained, atomic bomb, whatever, neutron bomb, anything that can be explained by science, it only goes up to top secret by definition. You know, top is top. But when you get above top secret, that's the realm of what they now call high strangeness. That's something supernatural. And you probably know this, but MIT is now doing doctorates in high strangeness.
I actually did not know that.
They you can actually pursue the studies of high strangeness, all kinds of supernatural things, almost all centered on the alien agenda, which, by the way, is the realm of the fallen ones of the second heaven and the denizens of the inner earth, the alien grays and the reptilians and a lot of things that are coming up through the portals. So, you know, we have CERN, which you mentioned this when we were talking about the Twin Towers. Not exactly precisely, but you were talking about how naive the population is. Like, oh, it was an airplane. An airplane crashed. And, you know, nothing about that makes sense. But everybody just said, oh, well, let's go to war, you know, against our Muslim enemies that caused all this. But,
well, like Dr. Fauci said, don't argue with science.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
well,
right.
It means don't argue with me, who's telling you don't argue with science, because I'm the talking head.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he, you probably saw the quote, but he even said, well, to attack me is to attack science.
Oh, my goodness.
No, Tony, no.
Of course. I mean, this stuff. So yeah. You know, and then interesting, I don't know what you're about to say about CERN, but I just, the last podcast that I did, which was, two podcasts ago, I had two survivors that had both been to CERN and had some memories of the facility itself. And so, yeah, I mean, gosh, it is so far beyond just a Hadron Collider where they're like doing little science experiments. But I want you to go ahead and say
so far beyond that. And the extreme naivety of the world population to believe whatever we're told. And of course, the practitioners of evil hold their sides and laugh at the stupidity of the world population. Can you imagine the hilarity that it engendered in the hearts and minds of the perpetrators of the COVID con to see people putting on a mask between bites at a restaurant and calling it science?
No, here's one
that's
better.
Unbelievable.
No, swimming in the pool with a mask.
There you go.
That's
there
wet,
you go.
Calling it science.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or, and it went on and on.
No,
and,
even
know,
one
six
better.
Feet, you know, if you're 6 feet, a virus can't get to you. You know, 5 feet, 10 inches, you're in danger, right?
Wait, I got to say this. So for all the pregnant women that are giving birth in the hospital, here's a fact. Scientifically, women that are suffocating with a mask on their face while pushing a baby out.
Oh, brother.
Are you kidding me? They tried to do that to my wife. And we're like, no, you can take that mask back where you found it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but things like this, you know, the Lucifer telescope.
Okay.
That is run by Jesuits on Mount Graham. And if you know anything about Mount Graham was the most sacred high place, i.e. a place that for many, many years, the Native American Indians went there because it was a portal, right? The high places of the Old Testament were portals. Mm-hmm. The Tower of Babel was a portal, right? So North American Indians, Mount Graham was considered the most sacred mountain in America. The Jesuits took it over, which, by the way, no other group could have gotten away with that, no matter how much money you had. They, governmentally, they would not let you take land from the Indians, but they took it over because it's a portal. They put the Lucifer telescope up there. I don't know if you've ever looked up the name, but it's, you know, what they had to do to make an acronym that says Lucifer. You got to give them high marks for creativity. You know, I could imagine going through thesaurus, you know, all sitting around, like, we have to come up with something for you, you know, what word can we use for you? And then we have to come up with something for C. But they came up with this acronym for the Lucifer Telescope, which, by the way, was an infrared telescope. All it does is read spirit signatures. It's like a spirit box, but the most magnificent one ever created. So all they were doing is scanning the second heaven for spiritual signatures. And they were connecting with them, hobnobbing with them. They came up with a whole doctrine called the Doctrine of the Cosmic Brotherhood. That doctrine, which I've read out of the Catholic catechisms, that doctrine says that these are beings that have never been separated from God. Because they've never been separated from God, they're sinless. Because they're sinless, they don't need the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus or the word of God, both of which are supposed to restore our relationship with our Creator. They don't need that. And they're here to help us with our archaic ideas of religion. Now, that's coming right out of the Catholic Church, right out of the doctrine of the Cosmic Brotherhood. And millions of Catholics are, well, you know, if the Pope says it, it must be okay. So I used to think that probably by 2024, 2025, we'd have alien disclosure. They kind of said they did that, but it was pretty limp-wristed.
Now they did have that hearing last year. It was a mm-hmm. little bit of a hearing.
Yeah. There was.
Mexico did deliver up a body or two a few years ago in the country. Yeah, that just got lost between, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bitcoin updates on the Wall Street Journal.
Right, I don't know. Exactly. But if you turn back the clocks a little bit, everything was getting so intense. I thought probably 2024, 2025, they would actually have an appearance on national TV of some kind of a cosmic being, either a Alpha Centaurian from underneath the earth or something like a Sethian or something from above, whatever. But I thought they would have something in corporate form that they introduced, and it spoke to people probably telepathically. But I thought there would be something like that that would really shake the world. Now what I think, Dan, is I think God, in his great mercy, has given us a space of repentance. And I'm so thankful for that. But I hope that we can turn this into a time of not just revival. Revival are like the seeds of Reformation, but of course what we want is the fruit of Reformation, not just, you know, a warm fuzzy feeling we need to change things. That's what revival does. Like, it stirs our conscience. We need to make amends, but if we can press into that with the grace of God, see those seeds develop into reformation, like in Josiah's day. How about tearing down all the high places? How about dealing with the Asherah poles? How about tearing down every altar of Baal? And, you know, you mentioned something about Hollywood burning. Somebody sent me a clip, and I forgot I said it, but I did, just big as Texas. I was speaking and I said something about Hollywood, and I said, it is so perverse and so twisted that the place needs burnt down and rebuilt. It's just fallen to hell in a handbasket. Somebody sent me that clip. Like, were you part of the burning down of Hollywood? No, I was not. I want to go on record as saying that, but anyway, I think there needs to come a rebuilding of the infrastructures of society based on the godly getting out from under the basket, so to speak, not hidden anymore, and on the lampstand, and bring reformation. So I'm hoping that maybe we can have four more years of reformation before the final conflict. We know a conflict is coming that will be very intense. But anyway, do you know Paul Keith Davis?
I know of Paul Keith Davis.
Okay. Well, now if you get a chance to meet him, you'd love Paul Keith. He's a great guy. And we were sharing prophetic dreams. I've had some really significant dreams, and he has too. One of his dreams is that a full-on Nephilim being came into his meeting, and that was like the descriptions of the Nephilim in days of old. It was a giant and distorted and immensely powerful, and it's the kind of thing that it takes you into a different league. Like, we're not going to just be able to tase this one, or, you know, either naturally or spiritually, you just need to be at an uber level to handle this one. And he called me when he had the dream, and he said, "Dave, God gave me a warning last night in a dream that we would be dealing with a different level of evil that would be manifest on the earthly plane. And the righteous were the only ones that could deal with them. And not all the righteous, but the righteous and the ready, right?" And so who knows when that will happen, but God has somehow, Dan, connected me with people. Only God can do this. Mm. But there are people that, like, our ancient language experts from the Pentagon.
Interesting.
Happened to meet the guy at a dinner party.
What do you do?
Oh, well, I'm decoding some of the stuff that was found in Nimrod's tomb. Really? Let's talk.
Was that the stuff that they found when they went in to back in, like, what was it, 2001?
Okay, so Dan, again, Iraq was never about weapons of mass destruction.
They couldn't find them.
Because they weren't there, and they knew they weren't there.
But they did find Nimrod's tomb, and I remember that. And that was like, whatever. Let's talk about something else. Look over here at this shiny, bright object.
Exactly. And so I had a friend, Paul Cain. I don't know if you ever heard of an old guy named Prophet Paul Cain. Paul Cain was personal friends of Saddam Hussein. And he was sent over there during the Clinton regime. And he said it was absolutely known fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction. But in Saddam Hussein's day, they found the tomb of Nimrod, the most famous Old Testament king other than, you know, David and Solomon, but definitely on the dark side. He's the duck, baby, you know, Nimrod. And so everybody wanted Nimrod's tomb, Nimrod being a Nephilim, a giant, and the cause of, you know, the great flood. And so they had found it. And so they instantly had to fabricate a reason to invade. But that was the whole event, is to confiscate everything that was in Nimrod's tomb. Which they did, and they're still working on. Just without sharing his name, I will say this, that he is a Christian man. He said there's a copy of the book of Daniel that is an ancient copy that he's been working on the translation of, that has extra chapters that give the details of the times in and around the second coming of Christ. And I said, you know, since me and you, we buds, you know, can you give me a sneak preview? He said, I cannot. I've told you too much already, but there's some stuff at some point that will be coming out that in these days that we're coming into new things that are found and both ancient artifacts like that. Of course, it wasn't that long ago that they found the Ark of the Covenant and the original Tables of Stone and all that. So there will be stuff that's forthcoming. But I also think that we mentioned CERN, and we got sidetracked talking about how naive people are, but CERN is the shortened name of Cernunnos, the horned god of the underworld from Switzerland, where it is. The thing's named after Satan. Hello, you know.
Well, and then they put a statue of Lord Shiva in front.
Right, right, the destroyer. Yeah. And it's like our space program. Everything we send into space is named after the destroyer, Apollyon. Apollo 1, Apollo 2, Apollo 3. Of course, the whole program was built around Jack Parsons, who's a Crowleyite Satanist. And yet, you know, those things are just flown in our face just to mock us. And there's a lot along those lines. But one of the amazing things that has been happening in, let's say, the last dozen years, really more than that, but guys like Tom Horn, Chuck Missler, who was rock solid, godly theologian. I mean, he was a great guy, but he also had top secret clearance. What got Chuck Missler interested in the alien agenda is he was a brainiac. He invented the hard drive that caused the computer boom, and TI, Texas Instruments, was his company, you know. So he was a young brainiac that was a civilian employee for the Department of Defense. And he had the highest clearance you could get because he was working on nuclear secrets. Until, as a young man, they invented above top secret, which happened with the Roslin incident. Well, he's no dummy. He's a brilliant guy. So he says to himself, what could possibly be more important than the secrets of weapons that could destroy the entire planet? How do you get more important than that? So how does it make sense that anything is categorized above top secret? So he explored into it and found out that meant supernatural, high strangeness, things that cannot be explained through physics. And so he became actually, Tom Horn's book on aliens is the best that you can read. If you just read one book on aliens, it's Tom Horn's book. And he does a great job unpacking that as denizens of the fallen world. They're coming down as they claim to, right? They say they're coming from, you know, Orion's belt or wherever, but they're coming from the second heavens. They also claim to be coming up from the heart of the earth, especially those that they call grays or reptilians. And so we're going to see at some point a disclosure of these. And I think we're going back to, according to scripture, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, what characterized the days of Noah? Well, one of the things that characterized the days of Noah is that his forebear Enoch was still alive and was the Lord of the earth. He had such wisdom and power and anointing and grace that the fallen ones, the Nephilim, asked him to petition the Almighty. It's basically, hey, Enoch, you're close to God. You hobnob with him. You appear before his throne. Would you see if he would forgive us for what we've done to the children of earth? It's recorded in the book of Enoch, of course, and Enoch did ask, and God said, no, I would forgive them for sinning against me. You and I would understand this as a father. He said, I'd forgive them for sinning against me, but for what they did to my kids, there's no forgiveness. And so they were locked in the heart of the earth until the last day judgment. But anyway, there's so many things that are happening to where it's bringing a lot of things, but one of them is a spiritual awareness that God will use and allow us to use to get people's attention. We have this phrase, Dan, it's demonically inspired revival. And it's like, you know, people, I don't believe. Something grabs them by the throat at night. I believe.
Well,
right? Like,
Tucker Carlson has talked about his own encounter that's really pushed him into Christ. And that's like very, very exciting to hear from a platform of his, you know, prominence. It's like, no.
Yeah.
The term, it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, even me,
since you brought that up, mm-hmm. A friend of mine is Mary Flynn O'Neill. That's General Flynn's sister.
Yes.
And she's an awesome person.
Mutual acquaintance.
Yeah. And she knows Tucker. And so it was actually at Mar-a-Lago. I said, hey, Mary, did you hear what happened to Tucker? She said, yeah, that was wild, wasn't it? And I said, well, listen, everybody's going to want to exploit that story. Just, you know, to get followers on their channel or whatever. And I said, but tell him I'd like to talk to him, not to exploit the story, but because there's a reason that happened and there's a way to keep it from ever happening again. And so I don't know if that, she said she would, you know, I said, give him a card, tell him I'd like to talk to him. We don't have to put it on Rumble or YouTube or anything. I just like to talk to the guy, find out what happened, because it was one of those proverbial what hell meant for evil, God used for good, right? Demon.
Well, and you do.
His rib cage.
I mean, this is what you do. You've been doing deliverances for many, many years, and you do a live demonstration deliverance in front of hundreds of people watching.
Yeah.
This is your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Though for a guy like that, you know, he probably wouldn't want hundreds of people watching.
No.
But I'll tell you this. When something like that has happened to you, if you're an honest person like as Tucker is world famous because he is an honest man. He just shucks it down to the cob and tries to do his best to be honest about things. And God's honoring him for that. But I think God will also use that, because God obviously is setting him up to be a spokesperson for spiritual reality to millions of people who will listen to Tucker when they wouldn't listen to maybe somebody like you or I that had a deliverance ministry, but it was Tucker Carlson, you know? And I think Russell Brand is also going to be greatly used by God. I think Mel Gibson is going to be greatly used by God. Did you hear his recent Joe Rogan interview where he specifically said, I think God's preparing me for something great? I just thought, yes, that's awesome.
And it's been in him, I think. You've just watched the path of his career. There's been something in him that is just, it's got the signature of Jesus's influence.
Yeah,
and
I know. Yeah.
Here we are. Now, Donald Trump is making him an ambassador to Hollywood.
I know it. That is so awesome.
What's going on here?
Oh, well, I tell you what, I was praising the Lord all the way through that inauguration address. Mm-hmm. It was unlike anything ever, Dan. And he was saying things just like throw in, oh, and by the way, there will only be two genders in
That's
America.
Right.
Just threw it right into his inauguration.
And if someone had told you that, like in 1980, you would have to rejoice.
Oh.
For the fact that there are only now two genders,
yeah.
You probably wouldn't have believed them.
I know it. It was, you know what happened to America? It was like when Nebuchadnezzar had the weird spirit, was running naked on all fours, and suddenly his mind came back to him and he stood up and was transformed. It's like America's been running naked on all fours through the woods, totally demonized, and suddenly their minds restored to them, and it's really exciting what's going on. Oh, Here's another one. I don't know if you've been asked to be on this or are connected to it, but you know Troy Brewer? He's in Texas there, and he's been rescuing kids for many years out of sex trafficking. Great guy. If you haven't met him, you'll meet him at the conference that we're doing in June. He's one of the speakers. Yeah, he's a great guy. You'll love the guy. But anyway, he and his wife have rescued over 11,000 kids over the last 30 years. They have them in houses all over the world. But anyway, he just called me and said he'd been asked to be on a presidential task force to end child sex trafficking. And I just thought, praise God, man, we're getting good, solid Christian, like Troy's, you know, spirit-filled pastor. He's an awesome guy. But I think for you and I, and all that we do, the doors are just swinging open. And I think of the verse, Dan, that says, if you can't march with the soldiers, what will you do when the chariots arrive? I think the chariots are arriving.
I couldn't agree more. And I think this is one of the things that has to be just stated. Sometimes we think that problems that exist are unsolvable. And there are certain problems that maybe can only be managed. But a lot of problems exist because those that have power want them to exist.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's been the case with child trafficking and the border crisis in this nation for the last 4 years. It wasn't a crisis because it was unstoppable. It was
absolutely
a crisis because people that had power wanted it to be a crisis.
Absolutely true. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And we down here, you know, I think you know this, but we've always, our motto is find a need, meet it, find a hurt, and heal it. So we're always trying to do something good that would honor Christ and help people, right? But what really shoved us into the deep end of the anti-trafficking thing was a barge in California that, I don't know if you know this story, but did you hear about the children that were rescued off a unmarked barge in the Bay Area?
I did not.
Okay, so this is what thrust us out there. We would have always tried to help kids, obviously. It's a no-brainer. But a vice admiral in the Navy SEALs came to a conference I put on that was called Beautiful Theories and Ugly Facts. And it was a really fun conference, by the way. But I had L.A. Marzulli, and I tried to get Tom Horn and a number of people. I had scheduled a former Jesuit that was stationed in the basement under the Vatican, the underground Vatican vaults. And so anyway, we were going to just talk about all things weird and wonderful. So this vice admiral came to the conference, and I didn't know him, never met him before. A lot of people at the conference. But anyway, later we got to talking, and he said, hey, I'm about to retire from the Navy SEALs. And he asked if I knew about the right of the clergy, the confessional. And I said, well, of course I do. And he said, well, so I have national security issues that I know about, and I can't talk to anybody about them unless I'm unburdening my soul. And I feel like I need that. And I do. I feel like I need that. Would you be open to me just unburdening my soul about some of the things I've been involved in? Well, this guy, Dan, had been involved in above top secret missions with the Navy SEALs for 20 years. So they're all the supernatural things, right? So they're the Kandahar Giants. His team took him down. You know, the big hairy giant that they took to Dulce, New Mexico. His team was the one that figured out it shot him in the Adam's apple and killed him. So anyway, you can imagine the interesting stories, right?
Yeah.
And so I began to hobnob with him, and he was still active, so he'd go and do something to come back. But, you know, there for a while, probably every other month, we'd have a 3 or 4 hour session. And he was supposed to be unburdening his soul, and he did. But every once in a while, I would make a suggestion that, you know, is there anything to do with giants in the heart of the earth that you need to unburden your soul about? And he'd say, oh, yeah, let me tell you about this. Which his team, I don't know, Dan, did you ever see the movie Predator?
You mean the first one that came out in like the...
Yeah, it's an old movie, but
I think at some point I probably did. I don't recall.
It's about a big, gigantic...
Yeah. I know.
Lizard type being that could cloak. It could look like the background. And so anyway, that's one of the things that his team took the original pictures of on the coast of Chile. And so we began to talk about the portals of the earth and CERN and his experience, of course, is that there are thousands of portals, and the ancient people knew about them, and they're still there, and they're still used to access inner earth, and bad things still come out of them, and that they can be spiritually closed, but they can't be naturally closed. You can't like put concrete over them and stop things from coming out of them, you know? So anyway, we were talking about it. This is interesting. And he said, the first 2 miles are the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. I said, what's that even mean? He said, I mean, they can't attack you in the first 2 miles. But if you take one step beyond that, they will attack you. And he's a Catholic, but, you know, he believes in God. I said, so you're saying that God has allowed men to dig down into the heart of the earth up to 2 miles without fearing negative consequence from within. He said, yep. He said, you can go 2 miles. He said, 2 miles is a long way into the earth. But he said, you go 2 miles on 1 foot, something's going to come after you. And then he told me, you know, stories, fascinating stories. And what happened to me, Dan, is I got to corroborating his stuff with the guy that I had met from the East Coast that did original language studies for the Pentagon. And it became quite interesting indeed, comparing notes with things that were in, you know, they have Area 51 in Nevada, then they have Dulce, New Mexico, and then they have Wright-Patterson. Those are the three above top secret bases that they take things to. But, you know, we're not too far out from all this. There will come more and more disclosure. They'll talk about alien beings. They'll talk about the Alpha Centaurians, the big, gigantic lizard-like beings that are said to interface with our military in certain ways. Of course, Sasquatch has been around for a long time, but there are all kind of different fallen type beings that are about to be recognized worldwide. And when that happens, there will be a great deception where some people will listen to them when they say, we are the ones that created the Buddha. We are the ones that we came in the form of Christ, especially shapeshifters, right? If they can change from a lizard to like a beautiful woman, then the the chance of them convincing many people that they came as Buddha, they came as Christ, they came as Mahatma Gandhi, right? It'll be easy for many people to fall into a great deception. Of course, we'll recognize it as the great deception. And that's the time where those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. But right. It's also the time where there will probably be many, many martyrs. And my personal feeling is that many of the martyrs will be people who love God, believe the Bible, but they aren't filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and there'll be collateral damage and difficult times.
We're so on the same page with some of this stuff. Yeah, I believe this exact same thing. In fact, you know, one of the ways I would explain it is, you know, there's different ways to find yourself on the other end of really upset people. Jesus made some people really, really upset with what he said. But the Bible says he hid himself and walked through the midst of the crowd.
Yeah.
Another guy would have just been thrown off a cliff, like they were, or stoned
exactly.
on the spot. But it was the power that Jesus was walking in
exactly.
that made the difference in experience,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the sovereignty of God that will deliver people when they have no faith. And then there's those that walk by faith.
Right. Right.
And not by sight. And it's very, very different. It is very, very different. And, you know, one of the other things that I think all of this leads to is a conversation on, like, the time is now. Because we see the earth, things are shaking. Like, Trump's election, that is, let me tell you, the greatest grace.
Yes.
If it wasn't for this, the whole world would be on a different timeline.
Oh, boy.
And
for sure.
I believe that, you know, this is an opportunity for the body of Christ to take our job seriously. Because, you know, it's not like we serve a God that just, he's not a bad manager. You know what bad managers do? They give you a task and then do it themselves and then say, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And they leave their employees feeling completely disempowered, disenfranchised, useless, unintelligent.
Great analogy. Yeah.
Some people think that God does that. It's like, well, if God wants it done, he'll just do it himself. It's like, what did he design you to do? Warm this pew. It's like, you know, well, while you're warming it, would you like to, you know, maybe do an act of faith or, you know, a labor of love?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm selfish and I think that God is here to meet my needs. And so it's like, okay, hold on. Let's just flip the script here. We have a God who gives people jobs to do because we're his hands and feet. And he looks at us as sons. And good fathers raise their sons to be productive members of society.
Yeah, there you go.
They get a job. They take care of a family. They change things. And that's the season we're in now where the body of Christ, it's like we got to take our sonship seriously.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I don't know how much you've delved into this, but it was for me a watershed concept when I studied sonship in the Bible because, you know, English is such an approximate language. We have one word and it means whatever you want it to mean, right? So you love your dog, you love God, you love your wife. Most languages, if you use the same word for your dog and your wife, you get slapped in the face, right? How dare you use the same language you use on that mutt with me, right? But we define the word by the context. Where articulate languages, they just have a new word. Like, you know, agape and filial, different kinds of love. Well, sonship has everything from brephos, which is a life in the womb, all the way up to weos, who is a fully qualified heir. They're all sons of God. They're just way different. And so the honoring in the gate was the rite of passage from a disciple to a fully mature son. And of course, we all know about the bar mitzvah, which was rite of passage from second degree to third degree. But most Christians do not know that we're born again as brephos. Then we are supposed to grow. We go through the stage of nepios, which That's where we get nepotism, right? Somebody that acts, you know, they got their finger up their nose, they're acting childish. And then they go through the bar mitzvah and they become a disciple. The word is technon. It's, we get technician from it, somebody that knows what they're doing. But all of that is preparatory to what the earth is groaning in travail for. And that's the manifestation of the weos, the fully mature rightful heirs. Well, understanding that brings everything together. And it also explains why Paul would say things like, how long are you going to be nepios? You know, standing around with your finger up your nose. You were born again a long time ago. Why are you still immature sons? You need to move on to being a disciple and be discipled into mature sonship. And of course, that's what the world is longing to see. And I wonder what it would be like if the church in America just taught that, right? You just because you prayed to receive Christ does not mean you're mature. And so what God is, he loves us just like we love our children, right? Your love for your child doesn't change based on their maturity level, but your hope is to see them grow up in all things and mature, right? And obviously, the amount of effectiveness that they experience in life has to do with their maturity, right? So anyway, I think that we're moving into a season that we've talked about, and there's a lot of things that I think God will cause to congeal. I think that message has to be heard in the church, that it's time for us to mature and put aside foolish things. You know, Paul lays it out so plainly when he says, when you're immature, you're no different than a servant, though you've been called to inherit all things. But you're just not mature enough to inherit all things. So you basically don't have any benefits that a servant has. But the idea is at some point, there will be the honoring at the gate, and your father will say, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And you know, the teaching is all there, but there's been such an infantile understanding of biblical Christianity and biblical doctrine. But I think all that's going to change, Dan. I think that all these things that we're talking about, if nothing else, it'll scare the hell out of people, and they'll get serious for the first time. And I believe there'll be people that have never fasted and prayed are going to be saying, you know, basically, what should we do to be saved, right? Maybe they've already put their faith in Christ, but they just think, I am not able to be strong and do great exploits here. And I need to get on that page as quickly as I can. So I think a lot of things will converge. And the Bible talks about it. It's the season, right, that the reapers will overtake the planters of seed. So anyway, that's exciting. So I got a question for you.
You have a question for me.
Why don't you come and join me for our next Isaiah 61 teaching and share some of your stuff?
I'd love to.
Would you?
I would.
All right. I'll send you the stuff we were just talking about. We've been doing it for, you know, since 97. But this is what we've been talking about. After all these years, Dan, the last time we did it, there were 500 people present and 27,000 watched online. We've never had that happen. But people are all of a sudden really interested in what's happened spiritually. And so it's really expanding. We decided to extend it, but I'd love you to come and share some stuff. So, you know, after we get off the call, we'll hobnob and plan something.
Here's the thing that I am very, very confident of for such a time as this, There are a lot of people that have been prepared and groomed by Jesus as leaders for this very state in world history. They have an understanding that there is going to be a countermove of heaven prior to a manifestation of a beast kingdom. And we are here to make it as difficult as possible for the devil to get anything through the gate.
Come on, at all. Brother.
And what does get through the gate is going to, and this is what my belief, it's going to be limited. It's actually going to be buffeted. And this is, I think, a season where we're going to see, and this is why the church has to take our assignment seriously. We have had such a victim mentality for so long, where we think whatever happens in the earth is happening to us because we, as the servants of the most powerful God in the universe, have the least agency of all the people that we're up, you know, journeying alongside of, which includes the witches and the warlocks that serve these inferior gods that literally collapse under the weight of our God's glory. I mean, they can't lift the weight of his boot off of their neck, and somehow we are their victims. And it's like, no. Stop. Come on. Get it together, friends.
Come on, dude.
You don't know who you are. And this is the thing, right? You know, Dave, I have been at the very edge of the spirit world, the final bosses, like the biggest guys at the biggest councils. Like, we've had to contend with all of them, working with these Illuminati defectors and these survivors of satanic ritual abuse coming out of stuff and these bloodlines. I mean, for the last decade, we've seen it all. Battle with Lucifer himself in the spirit world. I have been all over it with Jesus. I can say with 100% zero doubt, our God's bigger. Our God's
come on, buddy.
And our God's winning. And so when we approach this thing, this season, it's like, man, I think the gloves are coming off and it's time for the body of Christ to give the devil the left hook he's been waiting for.
Come on, buddy.
And it's going to hit the child trafficking realm. It's going to hit the governmental realm. It's going to hit the business realm. It's going to hit the entertainment and media realm. This is what transformation really is designed to look like.
Yeah. Come on, man. You're speaking my language, Dan. That's awesome. I'm really excited to get to know you better and work closer. And like I say, I hope your wife can come either to Isaiah 61 or to the, we decided to call it Destroying the Whore of Babylon. I want to call it Slapping the Off the Beast, but anyway, it's a little too intense for some people. My wife said, oh no, don't, please don't do that. But anyway, the whole verse about she makes the kings of the earth rich through her trafficking, but she'll be destroyed in an hour. I don't know about you, but I've always thought, I want to be part of that. The whore of Babylon be destroyed in a single hour, and the kings will mourn and wonder what happened to her. But anyway.
But can I tell you, I believe that heaven is at war with Babylon right now. In fact.
Absolutely, Dan. Absolutely.
At our conference. Okay, so we do an annual, it's called the Bride Tribe Advance. We're going to have to end this podcast at some point, but I'm going to say this right. So we do an annual Bride Tribe Advance. It's our annual conference where, we have a local church, small, and then we have all of our Bride Tribe family, like all of them.
Yeah.
And so this is our convergence time, and we come together for 3 days of worship and praise and messages and impartation. And every year we try to call it a retreat. And then we're just like, that's not what's happening though. We're pushing outwards every time. This year, the name of the conference was Justice and Judgment. And the target was Babylon. And when I tell you, we got to that final night and it was a different world. It's like, no, this is not pulpit ministry. Tonight is body ministry. And so what we did was 500 people. We rented out the entire hotel in the Houston Galleria. I mean, we had like most of the rooms and the whole thing. So we're like, over 500 strong, and we had gotten these like toy scepters. So everybody had this but it was a prophetic thing, right?
Yeah.
And we got to the end of the message. God had us as a body pronounce 10 judgments.
Wow.
On Babylon as one.
Wow.
And we had over 500 people.
Just this last year? Just this last year?
This was November. This was the Thursday, Friday, Saturday after Trump was elected. So Trump was elected.
Wow.
And then on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we got to Saturday, and we as 500 strong, pronounced 10 judgments on Babylon. I mean, and I'll just give you, and immediately we started seeing the news that correlated to the judgments that we as a
Wow.
body pronounced.
Wow.
And I told everybody before, as we were getting started on the weekend, I said, this is the ecclesia. That is a governing body that sits in the gate. That's what Jesus said about,
Come on.
not this pew warming weak.
Absolutely. Right. Wow. You're talking my language. Maybe you can share some of that at the conference.
I'd love to.
Hey, it's on destroying the whore of Babylon.
Friends, look, I have to do this. We're gonna have to stop this. We could talk all day. We could probably do this for 24 hours, but
Yeah, I'm sure.
you have a life. The Church of Glad Tidings, friends, that is the place to be in California, where Pastor Dave is doing his work for Jesus Christ. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. I
Amen.
love that. And you know, they have a lot of outreaches. So many. Can you just give a couple words about Peace of Heaven, and then we're
Yeah.
going to close this podcast.
Yeah, sure. So that's one of the rabbit trails we never got to. But anyway, a while back, there were a bunch of kids that we were instrumental in finding out about. The Navy SEALs rescued them, but didn't have any place to take them. So 807 kids went from child sex trafficking to the California system, which is the Child Protective Agency, which means they went from sex trafficking back into sex trafficking. None of those kids would have been rescued. And so the Vice Admiral of the Navy SEALs said, Dave, we cannot keep kids at Coronado Base. It's a military base. So if you really want to help, find a place for these kids to go. That started us on a quest. We found a 10-acre facility that was a former low-security women's prison. We talked them down from 17 million to 4 million for a purchase price. We're in the process of raising that $4 million. We have till the end of June to do it. My goal, Dan, at the conference you're coming to is right at the end of June, is to be able to show everybody the title deed to the property. And then we'll start refurbishing it. But we want to make it into a children's paradise, a beautiful place for kids to come after they've been rescued from sex trafficking. The man who started Operation Safe Harbor, or Mission Safe Harbor, I'm sorry, it's Mission Safe Harbor, but the man who started that also rescued the children that were featured on The Sound of Promise, and they're military men that can flat get out there and kick doors in and get stuff done, but they don't have any place to take the children. He told me, he said, Dave, we could bring you 1,000 children a month easily, but there's no place to take these children. We would be saving them. We know where they are. We know what's happening to them. There is no place to take them. So we want to change that. We're going to build this out, and we'll be able to take care of initially about 350 people and expand that as necessary. But we've also made a commitment to make this a pattern and then do it again in San Francisco, do it again in Dallas, do it again in wherever, because we really have to work together to destroy this evil, evil sex trafficking trade. And we have an old saying, none of us is as good as all of us. So we're working with anybody that has a vision for it. And again, we're calling that ministry, we're calling it Peace of Heaven, Children's Paradise. So that's what we're working on, doing a big conference. And we will have a guest speaker, Dan Duvall, that is coming to join us. And that's in June. It's the 20th, 21st, 22nd. And we're trying to bring everybody together that has a passion for saving the kids. So anyway, if you're listening, I hope you can join us. Really thankful, Dan, that you're going to be able to join us. And so that's a little bit about Peace of Heaven.
Praise God. Thank
Oh,
you so much, Pastor Dave, for
my
this.
pleasure, my friend. My
And
pleasure.
we're going to be talking again real soon. So,
Okay.
friends, Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Amen.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.